Taking care of the atmosphere. Even when the enemy came in like a flood, your spirit was present to raise a standard against him. We are grateful unto you. We want to thank you, O God, for the provisions that you made for us. We thank you, O God, for the services and the great blessings. We thank you, dear Lord, for joining us back, Lord, for the people to their destinations. And we thank you, O God, for abundance of testimonies that have come, Lord, from the convention. We know that every year we do have such testimonies. Lord, we just pray you help us, Lord, to actually know, Lord, give us wisdom to know how to analyze those things and, Lord, be able to praise you as we ought to. Thank you, dear Father. Everyone that you have used in one way or the other, we pray you will bless them and replenish them and reward them accordingly. If there be another time, if we are still here, we have not come for us, we pray that we will witness yet a more glorious time. Thank you, dear Father. We worship and bless your name. Thank you for the Sunday school. Thank you for the worship service. Thank you for testimonies, special numbers. We thank you for everything we ask you replenish. The song leader, Lord, bless those that sang specials. And Lord, the entire congregation, you bless each one of us. Be with us this morning after the announcement that we have to open your word again to read out of it and to pass a little word across to ourselves. Lord, before we close, we just pray, O God of heaven, that you will address each one of us at the point of our knees, meet our knees, lift our faith up. Lord, put us where we ought to be, Lord, so that the enemy will be completely defeated in our lives. Thank you, dear Father. Wherever the saints are gathered in like manner, we pray you will be with them. Thank you for your servant that traveled to Lokoja. Thank you for taking him there and for bringing him back safely. We thank you for the success of the prayer he went for. We are grateful unto you. Blessed be your wonderful name. Your servants that have gone to Bakatari, may you be with them and bless the service they have also. Thank you, righteous Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you all. You can please be seated. Once again, we welcome ourselves to church in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll just continue with the message we started at the Sunday school.
and trust the Lord to just help us to be at the level of God's expectation so that we can be full partakers of His blessing. Shall we rise up as we raise our hands and sing this chorus? Oh, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Oh, as we
they sing before you at all times, and they are never tired, both day and night. We thank you that we as mortals, you give unto us that same privilege to sing that holy, holy unto you. Dear Father, at this time we want to leave ourselves before you. We pray you will send your help, send your grace, send your anointing, send your inspiration, send, O God, unto every one of us the revelation of your word. Quicken your word unto us, Lord. May be life inside of all of us, that the kingdom of the enemy might be paralyzed, and your name alone might be glorified. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. As we remain standing, let's open once again to St. Mark chapter 16. We read from verse 9. St. Mark chapter 16 from verse 9. We read. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not.
After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they there. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take off serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. Can please be seated. We try to lay the background in the Sunday school, looking at the scripture on two occasions. When people saw Christ after he has risen from the dead, and they told the others, the Bible said, they believed not. This one said, we have seen him. He is risen. We witness it. It is him that we saw, because we know him before he was killed. We have seen him. They did not believe. And the only way that God has ordained for us to be able to gather faith from his word, said faith coming by hearing. This gospel was handed over to us from faithful witnesses. None of us ever lived in the days of the people that wrote the scriptures. That is why some people just concluded that this book is just a compilation of some people, because they did not witness those actions. They did not witness those acts. They only read it in book form, and they look at it that there is nothing to it. It's unfortunate. Despite the fact that the things that are written in the scriptures, people are seeing the thing today repeated, many still remain in the condition of unbelief. In the time of the prophet, when people have access to the prophet, when people have access to the services, apart from what they have been hearing, some people, when they add it on tape, when they add it on radio, signs and wonders that were done, they will come the next day, and they will also receive their own healing. But some, when they have asked, and they even have the opportunity to go to one of the services, the first person that doubted the gift of the prophet was his pastor, when he was a Baptist preacher. It was his own pastor, Roy Davis. But a time came that he believed. Not only did he believe, he was sending people to him to be prayed for. But initially, he said that if God will use anybody, will it be somebody like you, uneducated, with a seventh grade education? Your nouns are pronouns. You don't know which one is adjective or which one is adverb. You just muddle them together like that. Is that that type of person that will be going and be praying for kings and potentates? The type of ministry you are proclaiming? It cannot be. Because the person have already put God in the bracket of the educated people. If you are not educated, God cannot deal with you. That's why churches today have already put a standard. If you don't have a minimum of first degree, you cannot be a preacher. That is contrary to the scripture. The Bible said of Peter and John that they were ignorant and unlearned men. People cannot sign their name. They are the ones that wrote the book that you are reading. And after you have gone to seminary for whatsoever, and you come out with doctors of dignity or whatever you call, of theology of seminary or whatsoever, when you have it, you still can't understand what the fishermen have written down. Turn the whole thing upside down. What's the use of the school anyway? The prophet said that it is that school that they beat out the little revelation they have, the little light that they have. It is when they go to that school that those lights are quenched. Jesus never recommended anybody to go to any school to learn about God. John the Baptist went to the wilderness at the age of 9. And he was a messenger of the covenant. And he came out at the age of 30, which is 21 years in the wilderness, no education. And he was the one that introduced the Messiah. While the educated men of that land, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they did not know him. They call him Beelzebub. They call him bastard. They call him different names. But the one that God trained himself in the wilderness, he was able to identify the Messiah. That is the kind of education that God is looking for today. Not the theology when you come and be fornicators and adulterers, ravish the women in the church, and come and stand with your collar turned on and be talking rubbish. May the Lord be our help. The message before us this morning is a court trial. Satan, he has a case against God. That he put promises in his word that is not big enough to back up. That he put things in his word when he is invited and called on the scene. When his children, he claimed they are believing children. When his so-called believing children are trying to act upon those promises, that he does not back them up. So, he finds that God is guilty of putting certain rational promises in his word. He ought not to have put them down. Like we said in Sunday school, some years back, we read it in the news of a Catholic cardinal whatsoever. He claimed that they are not really expecting the coming of Jesus Christ. He said, because the fact that he turns water to wine is a pointer to it that he himself drinks. And if he drinks like they drink, I've seen minister stagger like this. Not only that the prophet said it, me, I witnessed it. Stagger like this, he had drank wine before the service. And when he's preaching, you just see him doing like this one. It's not an Holy Ghost inspiration. It is a drunken inspiration. Because I hear some of his members. I was seeing one of them. Because when they want to do any occasion, we have to bring food to the mission house with the drinks and everything. And the man of God has taken more than enough for the service. May the Lord be merciful to us. So they claim that if Jesus had perhaps been a drunkard, that there is a possibility that when he was putting those promises down of him coming back again, that there is every likelihood that he wrote those ones under drunkenness, under the influence of alcohol. So they are not reliable. And if that is the case, in fact, to begin with, this portion that we read, some church don't even believe it. They say it was not part of the original scriptures. May God have mercy. Right. Let's go ahead. So in the background in the Sunday school, we mentioned the case that is before us, because every case, there's a title to every court case filed in the court. That this thing, but this one that is before us is the word of God. The word of God's promise versus the world. The word of God's promise versus the world. And they are indicting God of a breach of promise. And there is a breach of promise. He made promise that I couldn't back up. And they have arrived at the court. God himself has been served notice, the summon, for the case he needs to defend. There's a case against you.
and they have served him so much. And when you are coming, come with your witnesses to prove your case. And the prosecuting attorney himself, which is Satan, also came to this court with also his own witnesses. And he had three of them, which he claimed that they are believers. That's what Satan called them. Say they are God's believing children. But even from their name, without such. Because when he was to announce the names of the people he brought to court, the first person he presented to the court was Mr. Unbeliever. Which all of us know that if somebody is an unbeliever, is an unbeliever. If you be an unbeliever, you will be an unbeliever. Unbeliever never believes. When he presented the next person, Mr. Skeptic. Skeptic is a doubter. I read the dictionary meaning for you. It's someone who doubts. Even while others are testifying that the thing is true, they doubt. They remain a doubter. And that dictionary word said that, especially when he does it all the time. Then he brought number three. Say, I have my number three witness here by the person of Mr. Impatient. And this was where we stop majorly. So we are going to call them one by one so that by the time they finish, God will also have time to also defend himself. Because even according to the scriptures, nobody is to be judged until you hear from the person. That's why when I was making an announcement, I said that we need to call some of our people to dialogue so that we'll give them the scriptural opportunity. This place, they said like this, how far then we talk. This one we talk, this one we talk. I want to believe that people, our people, they don't tell lies. The hardest thing is for you to ask two people to state a case. And this one, we finish narrating. The other person will stand up and say that all you have seen narrated from A to two, they are all lies. Then he will also present his own. And then this first one will also rise up and say, all you have seen said so, everything, every word that comes from his mouth, all of them are all lies. Then when you have that kind of a case before you, it will take the mercy of God. Yeah. Those are some of the things that the pastor did go through. All right. So let us listen to the complaint of Mr. Unbeliever, the first witness of the prosecuting attorney, which is Satan. Let us see what he has to say. And the reason that his organ, Satan, is concluding that God is guilty of a breach of promise. And the prosecuting attorney now is going to call his first witness to give witness, and his first witness to the stand is Mr. Unbeliever. And his complaint is that God's word of promise is not altogether true. That is what his complaint is. The first witness is, he claimed that he is a believer, though he isn't, because his name shows. But he claims he is. And he claimed that he was attending here some time ago, a Holy Ghost so-called meeting where the people were laying hands upon the people, just like we don't finish convention. And giving their scriptural rights to do this, reading it out of Mark 16, where I have just read, that they shall lay their hands upon the sea and they shall recover. Is that the scripture? That is the scripture. But somebody is here now telling us that this scripture is not altogether true. Now Mr. Unbeliever testifies, and he says that I had the hands of this what was called the Holy Ghost free preacher lay his hands upon me, according to Mark 16. Say the promise that God made. And the man said that he was a believer. That's the preacher now. And many claims to be healed. Mark that. He was not Mr. Unbeliever was not the only one that was prayed for. Now, among the people that were prayed for, some claimed that they were healed of their sicknesses. But he said that He was not healed. And because he was not healed, he is saying that this promise is not altogether true. Said, how many claim to be healed? And he laid his hands upon me, and that has been 2 months ago. 2 solid months after he has laid his hand on me. Nothing happened. And nothing has happened. Therefore, the promise is not true. Alright. We shall ask Mr. Unbeliever to step down. That's just all he has to say. That's just the reason why he concluded that this promise in Mark 16 is not true. Because of this singular experience that they had. Though some of the people that were also in that place, that they were praying for together, they were healed. They testified that they were healed. Amen. Now the prosecuting attorney, Satan, he calls his next witness. The next witness, which is Mr. Skeptic. Now he testifies. He said, I went to a church. I was sick. And I went to a church that was supposed to have a godly pastor in it. That had faith in God's word. And he had a little cruise of oil sitting upon his desk. Like this. And all of his people that come in there that wanted to be prayed for, he anointed them with God, reading the promise out of God's word in James 5:14. Another promise. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil. And prayer of faith is made over him. If he has committed any sin, shall be forgiven him. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. This is the scripture. And the pastor read it out of that. And he put the anointing oil upon him. And offer prayer according to the scriptures. He read up and said, if there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil and pray over him. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And God shall raise him up. If you have done any sin, it shall be forgiven. Now, I had this pastor who have had testimonies from others, note that, anoint me with oil, reading the scripture to me out of God's promise. And that has been over a month ago. And I'm still just as sick as I was when he anointed me. Therefore, that is his complaint. Then Mr. Sketty stepped down. Over a month ago, maybe 5 weeks or 6 weeks, this pastor put all on top of my head. After he has read the promise from God's word, and he says, this is what God has said. The prophet said that the reason for the oil, he said it stands for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit stands between the preacher and the sickness. Because the Abraham said, if the preacher is not specially gifted, he can catch that same sickness he is trying to cast out. He can catch it himself. If he doesn't know where he's standing, he will pack that sickness. I've even seen it happen in this city of Ibadan. A pastor went to go and meet a madman to pray for him. As he prayed for him, himself got mad himself immediately. That's why we have a balanced message. And everybody must know his boundary. You must know the way God deals with you. And don't cross your boundary. If you don't have the faith, be careful of where you put your leg. Otherwise, you pass what you didn't write for. May the Lord be our help. And the prosecuting attorney, he has gotten 2 witnesses now. Satan, he calls his next witness. His next witness is Mr. Impatient. That's a pastor. Excuse that expression. See? He just makes you get you so nervous. You don't know what you are doing. See? So Mr. Impatient, he claims, he said, one day, why didn't the Bible say, the prosecuting witness was saying that all these claim to be believers now. He claimed that he was reading the Bible and he come across the passage of Mark 11:22 and 23, where Jesus himself made the promise. Say, if you say to this mountain be moved and you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you have said. This one comes from the mouth of Jesus himself. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that what you have said will come to pass, you have what you say.
The prophet said, one man went to his window and looked at the mountain and said, the mountain, you move. He said, the second morning, he said, I went through the same window to look at it. He said, just as I expect, the mountain was still there. Is he a believer?
He already had expectation that that mountain cannot move.
Just note.
And again he says, if you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for. Now it says, I've been a cripple in my feet, lame in my feet for some 30 years. And I accepted that promise 5 years ago. And nothing has happened since. And I'm still just as crippled as I ever was.
That's the third witness of Mr. Impatient.
Then he steps down.
How can God make promise by himself? And you look at that promise and you wait on that promise for 5 years.
And it did not materialize. How can you still be claiming that promise is true? Is there anything to that? How can you still be claiming that one?
In the time of the prophet, a preacher prayed for a crippled child that was using crutches.
And he told the person, throw down your crutches. And he threw down his crutches. And his leg was straight. And he could walk by himself. And while going, by the time he reached the end of the platform, he fell down. Then the parents of this child, they sued the preacher to court. And anytime, if our people will be honest and sincere, anytime a case of the Bible is brought to court, they must read that Bible. They have to read that Bible before the case is passed. So they have to, of course, Bible is one of the things that they used to also swear. At the beginning of every case, so far, they use either of two books, either Quran or Bible. So the judge in this case and the jury, they have to appeal to the Bible. So they carried the Bible and put it down. So when the case was on, the preacher said, I give you to understand that God healed this child as at the time I told him to throw down his crutches, he walked for some minutes by himself. Even if it is seconds he walked. The others were saying, we don't believe in that type of case. It does not exist. God cannot do a thing like that.
Then, in God's own mercy, he anointed the judge himself.
And then the judge asked a question to the people who are sitting, who are hearing. He said, is there anyone here that can state it that according to the scriptures, that it is possible for God to heal somebody here and then the sickness will come on the person at that place? Is there anybody, a minister raised up his hand, say, sir, I can state the case.
Yeah, you rise up and state the case.
Say, your honor, sir, in the scriptures, when Peter and some of the disciples were inside the boat on the ocean and the storms come and they were troubled, they saw Jesus coming, walking on the water. And when Peter cited him that it was Jesus Christ, and he said, Jesus, are you this one I'm looking at? I said, yes. If you are the one, then bid me come also. Let me also walk on the water. He said, then Peter stepped out and was walking on the water. After a while, he started sinking. He said, he had to scream out and say, save me and perish. Then the judge said, then the case is dismissed. At every point in time, as Satan have witnesses, God also has witnesses. So it will depend on whose side you are, is the one you will witness for. The people that are asked today, they are all operating under one of those powers. They are all operating there. Some are operating and they are witnessing for God. Some are operating and they are witnessing for Satan. And there is no matter that is on the fence. We are all under one operating like that. We are in the courtroom this morning. Nobody will sit on the fence at the end of this service. Whether you sleep, you are not on the fence. Because the judgment will be passed on you. If somebody go and report you in the court, and they serve you a notice the first time, and they invite you to court, you did not come. They postpone the case to another day. They serve you the second notice, you did not come. They serve you the third, you did not come. They will rule that case. They will rule the case in absentia of you, and the judgment is binding on you. Because that is the law that is guiding the judgment of anything. So I didn't hear that time I was sleeping. The judgment will go forth anyhow. Amen. So now the prosecuting attorney, after his three witnesses have already said and give their witnesses, then he has to stand up to seal the case, to convince the court, to convince the jury and the judge, to let them know, you can see my three witnesses that I brought here. They are not just talking on imagination. They brought scriptures. They were acting on scriptures. And scriptures have been read here now. You yourself can know, if you look at the case very well, that God is guilty of putting these righteous promises in his word. He also can put them there. He made statements he could not defend. He said this he could not stand by. How would you want us to be serving such a God? And yet you are shouting his name everywhere. Everybody is worshiping him. They should know that he is not altogether true. Then the prosecutor answered. He came up. He said, these people claim to be believers. And God is not justified in placing such rash promises in his word. When he doesn't back it up. So he is indicting God. He put these promises in his word for his believing children. And his believing children step up here and testify that they have accepted this claim and that he has made in his word to be the truth, and they have no result from it at all. They met with disappointment. The prosecutor attorney is talking. Satan. Therefore, he is indicting God, trying to get a case against him to say that God has put something in his word for his believing children and does not stand behind what he promised. How can he make such promises and he does not back it up? Also, he claimed that it is unfair to make such a promise to his people, to his believing children. And he's not able to back up what he has said he will do. Now the prosecuting attorney is showing a hard case here against the defender, which is God. He's not able to back it up because we got witnesses here that he does not stand behind the word that he promised. Let him come and defend himself. We have three witnesses here. Amen. Then he speaks further. He says, the prosecuting attorney says, which is Satan, yeah, God promises that all things are possible to believers. That's another scripture. After all this one that I've been quoted, he still went further. That Jesus still said that all things are possible to them that believe. And these are believers here now. Mr. Unbeliever, Mr. Skeptic, and Mr. Impatient, they are all believers. And they look at God's promises and they follow it, and now there is no result. God says that in his word. The prosecuting attorney is sealing up his case now. You see, he thinks he's got it because the three witnesses that give witness and give it to the scripture and has quoted the scripture right and everything the way they have done it, and now the prosecuting attorney is also sealing them little places, saying that God promised that all things are possible to them that believe. Yet, again, the prosecuting attorney speaks, which is Satan. He said God promised to be alive after he had been crucified. Is that true? That's according to Mark 16 also. Also, he promised in the scripture, Hebrews 38, that it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Satan is quoting scriptures. And is unable to support or back up what he promised. He is nailing it down. Really tight. So that there is not a chance to get out of it. He is not able to do it. God cannot keep his word. In other words, he claims that he is alive from the dead. He also claims in John 14, 12, that he that believeth in me, the words that I do, shall he do also. Say, so he hasn't been able to support that also. He also said in the scripture that yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me, for because I live, you live also. These are promises that Jesus has made in his word. Satan is saying that he is not able to produce the result. It's a bad case, isn't it? He's sunk. Amen. The day I first listened to this sermon, I said, if God doesn't help man, he will become a witness for Satan. Because the case was really rough. Notice Samuel Abraham preached it 5 times. The other 4 times he called them a trial. This is the only one he called a court trial. It's a rough case. It's tight. Amen. And all of us that are here, we are going to fall a witness of one of these two people. The prosecutor or the defendant. At the end of the service, you will fall in one category. Amen. Notice again, he claims in the 17th chapter of Luke, speaking of the days of Sodom, which we are now living, like it was in the days of Sodom, that the sin of the world will be in the same position, and that God will come down, being the word manifested in flesh here on earth, and will be able to do just the same thing that God did, which was a man in human form. Is that what happened in the days of Sodom? I am asking the audience. Which was called by Abraham Elohim. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man is being revealed in the last day, that he will reveal himself in the same manner that was taken in the days of Lot, giving the sin. He also promised that he will be with us, even in us, unto the consummation or the end of the world. And he also claimed that both heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away or will never fail. These are scriptures. Prosecuting attorney is in nailing his case. Making us to know that God have no reason for excuse. It's nailing the case. And may I tell you that the second being that is a preacher after God is Satan. There is no mortal on earth that can preach like Satan. Is the anointed, when you talk of anointing, is the anointed cherub that covered it. And he can quote the scripture left and right more than any preacher can remember. Now I think the prosecuting attorney thinks he has the case pretty well sealed up. He has got witnesses to prove that this word is not the truth. Now you are both judge and jury this morning. We are still the morning. You are whatever your jury's verdict is. You will act out what your verdict is. You will have to do that because your actions speak louder than your words. That's right. You can say something, but if you don't mean it, you can't act it. Your actions will go louder than your words. So let the prosecuting attorney now step down. He has given had his witnesses and they have testified. So, and the prosecuting attorney has placed the word out there and sealed it just the way he wants it. For he thinks he has got the case completely sealed up now. So let the prosecuting attorney and his witnesses step down from the stand. If you ever go to a court and you see Sam come to defend cases, by the time the first Sam will finish his case, you think that the judgment should just go up. That everything has been completed. No, nothing else. This other one will talk. But let him stand up also. They all went to the school. They all read the law together. They all have compendium of experiences with them that they are going to refer to. They all have where their joker is. And as one is speaking, the other one is trying to look at the loopholes that he's going to use. That's mortar to mortar. But here, we are having God as a defendant. The creator of heaven and earth. The one that created Satan himself. We have him as his defendant. That know his beginning and know his end. That know all the thought of his heart. That is why Isaiah could say that these are the things that Satan was thinking in his heart. That he never spoke out. Isaiah wrote them out. So we are now giving chance to the defense witness. What he has to say. Here is the case against him by the prosecuting attorney. Here are witnesses or people that have brought cases, live cases. Or when they take God at his word, referring to the scripture that he has made, and they find out that they were disappointed. What does the defense witness have to say? This time, you have to be very alert and awake. If not, after you have heard the other side, if you don't listen to this side, at the end of the day, you will be a witness for Satan. May the Lord be our help. Now we call the defense witness, which is the Holy Spirit. You know, if there is a defendant, there has to be a defense witness. So we call the defense witness to defend the defendant, the Holy Spirit. And then the first thing that the Holy Spirit says when he steps up is this. And he wants to call the attention of the prosecutor, the one that is trying to try the case that is indicted, that the prosecutor has misinterpreted the word to the people. That is the first thing that the defense witness wants the court and the prosecutor and his witnesses to take note of. That the prosecutor, Satan, has misrepresented, misinterpreted God's word to the people. Just like he did the first human being, Eve, in the Garden of Eden. He has misinterpreted the word of the people. And the Holy Spirit, the defense witness, is calling the attention of the people to this. Take note that there is a misinterpretation of scriptures here. Let's go to it gradually. Number two. The defense witness also wants us to know that these promises are to believers. Amen. The believers is the only thing that the promise is to, not to unbelievers or skeptics or impatient. The promises in the scriptures, they are made only for believers. So anyone who is not a believer should stay aside completely from the scriptures. God's promises are not to unbelievers. They are not to skeptics. They are not to impatient. You want to walk with God, you got to be patient. Because it itself is patient. We'll see when the witnesses are coming up. Glory to God. Let's go further. The defense witness is claims that God distinctly said that it was to believers. He said, "These signs shall follow them that want believe." Not for those who disbelieve. Not for skeptics. A skeptic is a doubter. When the promise is being made, you are doubting it. Then you are not part of the people it is made for. He called the attention that each one that testified in protest against the word admitted that others claimed to be healed. So where unbeliever was and did not get his result, others testified that they got their results. Where skeptic said he did not get the result, others testified that they got results. Where impatient said he did not get results, others testified that they got their results. Then we have to look at the case real well. If some are getting results, some are not getting results, what is the link? What caused the gap? Then we have to examine. When he said, if you say to this mountain, we have to examine who is the you that is saying to the mountain. He didn't say everybody will say to the mountain. He is saying you to certain people. You to believers. When he was making some of these promises, Judas was there. Is it pertaining to him? Amen. So that throws him out right now. Let's go on with the case a little while. Another point is that the defense witness, he should know whether these people that are testifying are believers or not. The Holy Ghost is the defense witness. Are you with me? The Holy Ghost is his defense witness. And the Holy Ghost knows who is a believer and who is not a believer. So when Mr. Unbeliever was testifying, the Holy Ghost, who is the quickener of the word, he knows that he has not quickened this word to this unbeliever. When he looks at skeptic, he knows that he has not quickened the word to this skeptic. When he looks at impatient, he knows that he, who is the quickener of the word, never quickened this word to Mr. Impatient. So he knows who are the believers. He knows who these promises are made to. He knows who he has quickened this word to. All this that the prosecutor had of the Satan brought to come and give witnesses, he never quickened the word for any of them. They are out of these promises. Amen. The quickening of the word is saying that I never quickened the word to these ones. So they are not believers. Amen. From his own mouth, he is saying others claim that they are being healed. Others claim that they are having results. You know, immediately the day of our leaving the convention, a sister met me outside. Says she herself have testimony. By the grace of God, if we are still here by next year, we are going to, even we do not even wait till next year. Very soon we are going to open an internet space. We have people that have testimonies from the conventions. We drop their testimonies. Amen. Then we'll have the compendium. A sister met me. He said, last year, I brought two prayer requests. And he said, the two have been answered. He said, this year, I just put another request. I said, you should know from this one that this one too is as good as done. The testimonies that people have about this convention, by now, over the years, they are in thousands. They are in thousands. Of course, not everybody we have the time to come and give testimony in the convention. Some have given it in their different churches and they have... They are even forgotten about it. So many things. Every year, outstanding things are done. Apart from coming to the physical, people get wife there. People get husband there. Oh, sure. People that, in fact, may the Lord be our help. I almost say something. May the Lord be our help.
sister that told me, mention one spiritual water, mention one physical. She told me that last year she told God that coming this year, that she wants to come with her own vehicle. Physically speaking, it looks impossible. Though she's married, but she lives like a widow. Because the husband does not, for many, many years.
Somehow, just like a month ago now or whatever, the children did birthday for her and gave her a surprise of a Jeep. Because God works in mysterious ways, it's wonder to perform. When something becomes a need, listen close. When something becomes a need, God does not satisfy wants, because people have wants unlimited. But when something has become a need and it is presented to God as a need and God sees it as a need, it is a God. God does not follow our wants because mortals are never satisfied. But when it is a need and God sees it as a need and you put it in his word, he said, Rapport said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And it's not a disappointment. It's not a failure. Glory be to God. Amen. The Holy Spirit quickens this world. What does quicken mean? Quicken means to make it alive, to make it real, to make it practical to you until you don't see anything apart from the word. You don't testify of anything apart from the word. You don't have any other expectation apart from what the word says. The word is your expectation. The word is your confession. The word is your belief. The word is your faith. No doubt, no impatience, no disbelief. Everything is what God said. That's what matters to you. Amen. Now, the defense witness goes further. And he wants to call the attention of the word of the prosecutor or the prosecutors that is in question. He said, God never sent any time, certain time for this healing. This one said 2 months. Unbeliever. Skeptic said 1 month plus. Impatient said 5 years. The maximum is now 5 years here. Let it be 15 years. Because you are going to see when the witnesses of the Holy Ghost are coming forth. You see things that happen on different timeline. Amen, amen. Glory to God. God never sent a time for it. He said the prayer of faith shall save the seed and God shall raise them up. He said they shall lay hands on the seed. He didn't say they will jump up right there and be healed. He said they shall recover. And our prophet even told us that when you are prayed for and your case even get worse, he said it is a witness that God has answered the prayer. Because he said the spirit of that sickness has left, then the body will swell up and it's going through decomposition process. And if you hold your faith, because that is the junction now where Satan is going to go and bring his witnesses, you can see now that you are not healed. You can see that even before you were even praying for you, you are not even feeling as bad as this. You are not even feeling this bad. Maybe you are even seeing better, even before prayer. It's exactly after this prayer that case becomes worse. Can you see now? And he's going to bring all his witnesses. And his witnesses is going to include feelings. The witnesses will include time. The witnesses will include memory. You remember. When this one happened to this one, you saw the result. When this one happened to this one, you saw the result. He will bring the witnesses, which are the 10 the tenth thing, the five senses of the body, and the five senses of the spirit. We bring all of them, they all witness against God's word. In most cases, we bring all of them together. And then you are going to have a rough time. Except the word of God is planted deep and quickened by the Holy Ghost in your heart. That's how you will give up. Well, maybe another service. I will trust God that when they will pray for me. You see, when the unbeliever, skeptic, and all of them were, when they were talking, they were saying that this man that's supposed to be a godly man, that claims to be a Holy Ghost filled man, they don't believe he's a godly man. They don't believe he's filled with the Holy Spirit or is speaking with the Holy Spirit. When you have things against the person that will pray for you, don't you go. Don't go. You go to the source of your victory for defense, for protection, and for blessing. You know, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Brother Abraham said that is the hardest thing for a human being to do. That mortals can believe in God. Brother Abraham said at the time of the Pharisees and the rest of them, all of them believe in God. He said, but when Jesus is now saying, you believe in me, say they couldn't do that one. Why do they believe in God? Because God is unseen. God is a spirit somewhere. And they never knew that that spirit had entered into mortal. And it's living right there now with them. They could not believe. Amen. That is why in the time of the prophet, despite the great and mighty things that God used to do in this generation, we still have millions of people that refuse to believe. Is God mocked? God is not mocked. The unbelievers, they just suffer it. Until somebody came and told the prophet that you are claiming that you are doing healing, this and that. Let me bring a child. Let me bring a girl there. Put a hand there on the something. Cut it off. Then you come and heal it. The prophet said you need mental healing yourself. Because somebody that will talk like this one, you go and bring your own girl. You don't even need to bring your own girl. Your own girl. Let you use your own as a trial. If his heart is chopped off, he will be forced to believe. Human beings. Human beings are very terrible. You bring your hand, let's chop it off. If you like, believe that time. If you like, don't believe. That's how you carry the one and a half hand the rest of your days. Huh? And the name of the person will change. Say it's Mr. I'm trying to think, okay, let's say Mr. Mason. No, Mr. Mason in all these areas. Those are American them names. They bear stone, they bear wood, they bear Mason, they bear whatever. They even bear outlaw. So, Mr. Mason, if that is his name before they chop his hand off, from that day, and you say, Mr. Mason, say which one? Is it the one that have one and a half hand? It will be added to your name. Amen. Now the prophet said, God didn't set a time. He didn't say immediately. You can see that somebody somewhere is misinterpreting the word. Somebody is misquoting it. The prophet said, we got a good witness here. He should know whether they believe or not. He could say that. And he certainly does correct the scripture here. Because the defense witness always did that in the Bible times. The word always corrects itself. And we find that it says, Satan has misquoted the word to that unbeliever. And the unbeliver knows no difference. But the one that believed it knows just exactly what he said. And add on to it, see what their claim was. They couldn't prove it, but they claimed it themselves and they was. Like we claim to be saved, they say, well, Show me how you are saved. My life proves I am saved. The way I act proves I am, whether I'm saved or not. No matter how much I testify about it here, from my mouth, you know how I live, whether I am saved or not. It's the way you live that proves your testimony. Not what you are even saying in your mouth. Not what, of course, we don't know what is happening in your heart. The Bible said, with heart, man believeth. Say with the mouth, confession is made. But if you make confession and does not tally with what is here, will not argue. Will see your life, how you act. When you act, everything is clear. Amen. By faith, you are saved. Jesus said to the woman that touched his garment, said, thy faith has saved thee. Remember, thy faith. He didn't say, my faith has saved you. He said, your own faith has saved you. Be it unto you according to your faith. So if you do not, Jesus said, do you believe I can do it? They say, yes. Say, be it unto you according to your faith. In other words, if you don't believe it, you are just saying it from your mouth, nothing will now happen. Thy own faith has saved you. But unbelief does not save anybody. Amen. Paragraph 85. He said, again, calling the attention that the prosecutor has misquoted the word, and God never said that they would jump upright quick as soon as they had hands laid on them, but he said, they that believe will recover. That is, if he believes, it is only to believers. So, what are we trying to say? We just come from a revival. We just come from a convention. We just come from a down, a heavy downpour, a heavy outpouring that people testify that God showed forth himself here. But who are actually the beneficiaries of those blessings is the believers. It's to those who believe. And there is things that goes with a believer. There is a line of confession. There is a line of witness. There is a line of the way you will act that will show whether you actually believe or not. If you start complaining, giving glory to Satan. The prophet said, again, the divine witness wants to call the attention of the court to this afternoon, that God said that his word was a seed. Amen. Is that the Bible? Matthew 13. The word is a seed that a sower sowed. All the people on earth that listen to God's word, Jesus put them in four categories. He grew some of them that the condition of their heart is by the wayside. He grew another one for the condition of their heart as rocky ground. He grew some that the condition of their heart is thorny, is full of thorns. And he puts on and said, their heart is a good ground. Even when he dropped the parable, the disciples there did not understand. He said, the best of the air, they defile those ones that fall by the wayside. That wayside is the condition of the heart of some people. But the seed that fall on that wayside and the one that fall on the rock, and the one that fall among the thorns, and the fall, one that fall among the good ground, is the same seed. All of them are the word of God. In the convention, may I ask you a question? Did you group some people, one place, that this preacher should preach to them? And then group another one, and say another one should preach to them? Did you ever see Satan come to preach to anybody there? Did you see Satan come to preach to a group? Physically, you don't see. You just see this preacher called Pastor Ladejo preach, Pastor Micaiah preach, Brother Joseph preach, Brother Felicia preach, Brother Dele preach, then Pastor James preach. Never ceases and come to preach to anybody. And they preach to the entire audience at once. Is that correct? But the heart that the word that is being preached is falling, they are different. We are not even talking of the minor services now of 30, 40 minutes preaching, which they are also part. The heart of those that are by wayside, they don't leave that convention until those things leave. The birds of the air, which are demons, they come and pick them out. If you ask them today now, what did you get from the convention? You can't remember one thing. Everything has gone. The other group, their heart is on rock. They jubilated in the convention, dance. Glory, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory. They shouted, they danced, they clapped, and they shouted, amen, this and that. Come outside, say, shalom, bro, shalom. Ah, that was powerful. But because there is no moisture inside their heart, no moisture, the sun will shine of persecution to try to examine what they believe, to try them on what they are saying amen for, to try them on what they claim that they have received as blessing. When those trials beat out like this one, they will give up. Because there is no moisture, because there is no heart on the rock, nowhere the root of those things will grow, when the sun will hit them, they will dry off. That's the end of the blessing. By the time you find that person in 2 weeks or 1 month, you can't see any traces that he attended any convention anywhere. His heart is on rocky ground. There's another group. Tongues were already in their heart before the word. It was in the midst of those tongues. Jesus interpreted the tongues. He said, the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. I will be rich at all costs. Whatever happens, whatever goes, this money we go have them together. Be careful. Be careful. If you are a believer, you can only be ready as God wants you to be ready. You make any move to cross that one, you are off. The cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches go have money. No matter any way, of course, there are so many ways that one can be wedded. If you want to be rich at all costs, if you are a young man, there is a way of Yahoo. You can be rich and become wealthy. But one day, your money will perish with you. Your money will perish with you. You can give 30 million to people. As long as you are a thief, you are still a thief. So for the fact that you say I was merciful to that one, God doesn't look at that one at all. God is the source. How you are making the money is what matters to God. You are still a thief. And your name is in the book of armed robbers. Amen. Maybe you are a worker in your office. Just know how to do the thing. You'll be rich quite all right. But deceitfulness of riches, cares of life, and deceitfulness of riches, it will make the world unprofitable. Then there are people that their heart is good ground. And Abraham told us how to have a good ground. Farmers know how to have good ground. If you are a farmer and you have a good ground, you know you have to do clearing. Is that correct? You have to do cutting of trees. And you have to do what is called grubbing, uprooting those stumps to make the ground good. Then you will now disk it. You will heap it to gather the manure together. And then before you now start planting, before you have a good ground, some of the bush you need to set it on fire, you burn it, whatsoever. Different ways of preparing it. But when you do finish, you have a fertile good ground. That's a good ground. When you plant on that one, then you can be expecting. The fruits, they are not going to be the same quantity. Because according to Jesus himself, some are 100-fold. Some are 60, and some are 30. He that hath an ear, the Bible says, let him do all, let him hear. So when you see somebody that is going to produce 100, don't be jealous. That is the quantity of the faith that God has given to the person. The prophet says that you can only have faith as God give you faith. But there is nobody that is a child of God that God will not give faith. But you can only have it as God give to you. So the faith that this brother will have, I may not have up to that. The quantity I have is not to meet my need. Amen. The defense witness. Thy faith has saved you. Now the prophet said that the word of God is a seed. When it is planted and it goes to a good ground, the prophet said, you do not go and be digging it up when you plant your seed. You don't dig it up every day to see the process or the progress of the germination. Are you following me? You plant a cord down according to the law of nature. Within 4 days, the blade will come out. By 5 days, hallelujah, you already have two blades like this one, shouting hallelujah. Then it continues from there. Praising God, until the tassel and this will come out. And then finally we'll have the fruit. Amen. If you put the corn down, or any other seed, the second day you go there, you dig it and say, let me see how far it's doing. And then you bury it. It never starts. You bury it. Then the third day, you go there and dig it. And let me see where the progress. It never starts. For the fact that you bring it out, that 4 days before it will bring out the blade, is a complete committer. It's a complete committer. Uninspectable. You don't examine it. You believe it. That as it is in the ground, that it must come out. Because it is the law of God that have said that every seed should bring forth of its kind. As long as the seed is good, as long as the live area has not been removed from there. Because if you put a corn that instead of eating the life out of it, you just bury nothing. You bury nothing. But if it is the one that is a good seed, correct seed that you put on the ground, I tell you, you'll be expecting it. 4 days, you go there. You go and plant corn. If it's a good seed, 4 days, I promise. You go there. You see, you just shoot out small things like this one. See, there is life. On the fifth day, you are going to see. You open like this. Say, praise God. Then the growth continues. The prophet said that each time that you go and examine your symptoms, you are digging the seed. He said it will never produce of its kind. When you are minister to concerning any promise, the only thing you are looking at is the promise. You go every day, every hour that you can, and be reading those promises that has been pleaded for you. That is all. Not look at the symptoms, because according to the word of God, the symptoms will increase. The problems will increase. The discomfort will increase. The pains will increase. The suffering will increase. Satan will even threaten your life as if it's going out. That you will not even live the daybreak. But as long as you are referring only to that, I have been prayed for based on this scripture. That's what I believe. Even when you are even jacking, as long as you can be putting your mind on this one that I've been pleading for you, that is a lifeline. The word of God is a seed. As long as you are referring to that one, heaven and earth will pass away, a job out of this world will never go unfulfilled. Amen. With this time that we have, let's just go to a few defense witnesses that will be called, because the prosecutor had his witnesses, three of them. Even if it is three, the prophet in this very sermon called five, and he was number six. So if we just try to cut it short, because you myself, I want to be part of his witnesses. Praise God, amen. A court trial. The first person that the defense witnesses called was Noah. And Noah said, I live in a scientific age. I live the age in the age when the earth has corrupted itself. The men and women that were living on earth, they have corrupted themselves to the point that God himself was tired and he regretted that he ever created man. And the Bible said of Noah that Noah found favor in the sight of God. And God said, I will establish my covenant with him. And God told him that the end of all flesh has come before me. He said, you go and build an ark of gopher wood. And God gave him the dimensions. And told him that after that, then he will enter the ark and bring those who believe. Where animals believed. Because they entered the ark. Creepy things, they believed. Those flying with wings, they believed. Domestic animals believe. Wild animals believe. Crawling ones believe. A pair of them, they enter inside the ark. Amen. The historians came. I said, Noah, something's wrong with you. Have you ever had it in any news? Has your father or grandfather ever told you at all that rape fall on this earth before? Did you ever read it in any news? Have you ever heard it? Somebody said it, that rain has fallen before? And you are bringing a message that contradicts, you are the only one that is wise in your own conceit. The scientists came. What did we hear the man preaching? Say what? That rain will do what? Where is it falling from? I mean from the sky? They brought their instruments. Set it up. Shoot it up. And they check it. They brought that result. He said, don't mind the madman. Said, there is no moisture up. Everything is as dry as possible. So this is message is unscientific. Noah said, but God told me that. Then the engineers came. I said, okay. If you cannot believe the historians, you cannot believe the scientists, we are here as engineers. What did you hear you that you say you want to build? He says it's ark. Now, what are the type of materials you are using? He says gopher wood. See, this is your message fail historian test, if a scientific test, if a engineering test. This gopher wood that is spongy in nature, you put it on any water, it will just enter inside. So, Father Noah, we want to advise you. You have been a nice man here. You don't harm anybody. You are a gentleman, easygoing, nice neighbor. That we know. But I think we should go to his hospital for some medical checkup. Some people say things. They throw rotten tomato at me, make jest of me, do everything till I finish the act. But I was following God's instruction. When I made the ark, then God told me that I should go and cut another tree and beat the resin out. And then pour the liquid inside of it. Then I finish it. Say, unbeliever, make jest of me. Skeptic came to scorn me. And then impatient, was not even patient with me at all. To even see where I was going to end it. They were talking all kinds of things and they did all kinds of things. But finally, when I finished it, if I myself, when I was used building the one with this point, I didn't also know how it ever be. Until God told me what to do finally. Say, finally, finally, God asked me and the people to enter the ark. Say, we entered, including the birds and the animals. The first day, it didn't rain. The second day, it didn't rain. The third day, even my own family began to ask me questions inside the ark. Say, Papa, are you sure this thing you have said so? Because we are here now, you know heat is here. No window by the side, only one small window is on top. Papa, this is your message. We are here. And you told us now that it was God that closed something. The key is not even your hand. Now, God has closed the tree. We are here now. He has taken away the key. So we don't know. We are here. And the people are coming from outside to knock. Father Noah, are you seeing that place with those people? You should have entered alone. Lord, allow these people to go and roast to death. Oh. Third day. Fourth day. Fifth day. Say nothing. Not even cloud. Everything was as brassy as everything. Say, but on the seventh day, it just started. It just started. Little by little. Little by little. Before you know what, the whole ground was wet. Then little by little, the things began to form streams and there was running, water was running. Gradually, everything was just going up. The low places was being filled. Until it got to a time that Mr. Skeptic, Mr. Unbeliever, Mr. Impatient, they begin to come and knock the door. I said, Father, now, you know what? Open the door first so that by the time we enter, we will discuss. There are things really that I want to discuss. This is your message. I think we will discuss about this message. Yes. We have been talking about this water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. But we are thinking about it now. Maybe open the door first. Father, now, I said, I told them that I'm not the one that locked the door. It was God that locked the door. There is time for everything. There is time to repent. There is time to give your heart to God. There is time to confess your sins. There is time to surrender everything to God. And there is time that God will stop talking to your heart. That will close the door. Little by little, some will climb upstairs. Some will climb two-story building. Until the water will meet them there. Some will run to the mountain. But finally, the water baptized the highest of the mountains. If you read it in the witness of Father Noah here, the prophet said, all right, it went on for a while, but on the May, the 17th, one morning, it rained. Now, I used to tell you about May 17th. Amen. Let's leave that one. The defense witness said, let me get other witnesses because they are seen here, there are plenty. Then they called Abraham. Noah said, this thing that I said, it lasted for 120 years. Mr. Impatient, his own was 5 years. But Noah said, it lasted for 120 years. The Bible, Jude was saying that when God was long-suffering, in the days of God's long-suffering, while the ark was being prepared, God was long-suffering. Noah was preaching, and the people were scorning, and the people were making jests, and God was long-suffering. He could bear and see the way the people were throwing still dirty words to his servant, throwing rotten tomato to him, insulting him, saying all kinds of things to his servant that he had anointed, the messenger of that hour. But God was long-suffering. Abraham. Abraham said, all of us came from the building of the Tower of Babylon. But it was when we came down that me and my dad and the family, we went to dwell in all charges. That one day, God came to speak to me. That my name was even Abraham before, not Abraham. And God told me that he has made me a father of nations. And he said, as you leave this land, as you leave my kindred, as you leave my nation, as you go to a land that he will show me. And he has not even shown me any land. But because I know that this person speaking is the creator of heaven and earth, I believe anyhow, and I follow him. And he was guiding and leading until I got to a place that he told me that this place is the place that I promised. He said, at that time, I don't even have 1 foot there to my name, not to talk of a plot of land. I don't even have 1 foot. And here God said, he has given me everything. And God said that from the seed of my loins. And as at this time, I was already 70, 75 years old. My wife 65. We were all old. We're sitting in age. You ask a 65 woman here now and see how body is. You ask a 75-year-old man here and see how body be. Even people that are 60 or maybe you see how their body be. The Bible said the womb of Sarah was dead. It has ceased to be with her as manner of women. And he said, even Abraham, his body is now dead. When he says his body is dead, he's talking about what he needs to be able to pregnate a woman. That is what is dead in his body. And this is God now promising that he's going to have a child through this Sarah, that the womb is dead. And both of them are well sick in age. He said, when I went to even the doctors, they laugh at me. Everywhere I give testimony, the people don't want to believe it. Nobody believed that testimony. He said he continued for 25 years until God came back again today and said, according to the time of life, you have that son. This your wife said that we bring it forth. Say, all of a sudden, I just wake up one morning. I saw I was stronger. All of a sudden, my wife just came out. He looked as when we were married. Very beautiful, fresh, full of life. Say, what? Say, we just started life afresh. So the next month she conceived. And finally she gave birth to Isaac. See, that's how the mouth of Mr. Unbeliever closed up. That's how the mouth of Sketty closed up. Impatient finally closed his mouth. Because when the thing was 5 years, they were asking, Father of nation Abraham, how many children do you have now? That's how they were making guests of me. When it was 10 years, they came and talked again. 15 years, 20 years, Abraham, Father of nation. He became their laughing stock and way of jesting. But finally, at 25, when I was 100, and my wife is now 90, we have a bouncing baby boy by the name of Isaac. It was God that named the child himself. And then Isaac, it was through him now we begin to have the others. The defense witness, the Holy Spirit, say, I hear you, Abraham. You can take your seat. Let me call somebody else. Isaiah the prophet, can you say something? He stepped down. He stepped up. He said, this honorable court, I want you to know that by the grace of God, I was a prophet, born as a prophet in my own day. And the word of the Lord that comes from my mouth is not hearsay. It's not my feeling. It's not my opinion. It is only thus saith the Lord. Only what God shows me, then that is what I say. Say, but one day I had a strange inspiration. And the thing that came out of my mouth, me myself, when I listen to it, it baffled me, but I know it is God that says so. That said that a virgin shall conceive as I give birth to a son. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. of the increase of his government, there shall be no end.
What?
After the prophecy,
the people gathered around and said that this man is already having some mental disorder.
And he continues till Ivan Levy's act. Nothing like that happened. See, but after 800 years of that prophecy, a virgin finally conceived and gave birth to a son, which is called Emmanuel, God with us. The one that Jehovah God came and tabernacled inside. Oh, the defense witness say, Honorable Court, are you hearing? As I, you can step down. Let me call somebody else. Moses, a prophet. What do you have to say? You have heard what these witnesses of the prosecutor have said. What did you experience? Then Moses stood up. He said, I was born in Egypt in the time of persecution, when God's children were being tormented. And yet, we are from the seed of Abraham. And God had promised in his day that his seed will sojourn in a strange land 400 years. That after that, he's going to bring them out with a mighty hand. How that will happen, nobody knew. And when I was born, in the time of persecution. All the boys were being killed. How I was not killed, I cannot explain. Even my parents cannot explain. When they couldn't hide me again, they have to carry me to the river where perhaps crocodile will eat me or they will see me and kill me there. It was while I was there inside the little crib my mother made. My sister hiding in a bush. That was when the daughter of Pharaoh came. Instead of her calling for soldiers to kill me, Honorable Court, it was something else. And she said with her mouth, that this is no doubt one of the sons of the Hebrew woman. And she knows the instruction and the commandment of the king concerning the Hebrew boys. And she said, I will not this one for myself. That's how I was taken to the palace. And I was nourished up. Not only that, my mother was being paid salary to take care of me. Honorable Court, years rule. Until I turned 40. And I was thinking I would do this thing by the things I've gathered in Egypt. Being that I have good strength, I was trained as a military. I know where to knock somebody with further. I saw two people fighting one day when I discovered that one of them was an Egyptian. Upon the fact that your people are torturing my people. You are so here, cheating this one. Leave him now. I just give me only one job further and die. So I have to bury him. After that burial service, I never knew the man who killed the Egyptian yesterday. When he discovered, he said he has to run away. He said he was away for 40 years until God met him in the wilderness in the form of the pillar of fire and asked him to go back to Egypt. He said, I brought my excuses so because I was a stammerer. I could not talk well. But God said, you are the one that will go. Say, Aaron will speak for you. So when I got to Egypt, Pharaoh was not ready to listen to me. He said, I won't let, I did not know God, neither did I, will not let the people go. Whatever you want to do, go. He said, at a point, he was telling the Jew, drive me away. He said, but small, God began to move. Until this same Pharaoh began to ask for forgiveness. This same Pharaoh began to ask for prayers. But God was hardening his heart. Finally, without a spear, without a marching gun, without AK-47, by the power of God, guided by the pillar of fire, these people, they finally left Egypt. And God destroyed Egypt. Pharaoh himself and the people perished in the Red Sea. That's my testimony. God is faithful. He's faithful to his word. Promise that he has made to Abraham over 400 years. He brought it to pass. Not only that one, when we left Egypt and we were going, despite unbelievers, despite murmurers, despite complainers, despite that, according to the scripture, we finally got to the promised land. Everybody that believed, they arrived there. Moses, Thank you. God bless you. Then you step down. The next witness here is Joshua. Aha. Joshua came. He said, God bless you. Even by this time, people are already looking at the prosecuting witness. Like, say, this is your case, no get case. They are already looking at unbeliever. That's why they are now paying attention to their names. Really, unbelievers are not believers. Skeptic is a self-cursed. Impatient is an impatient person. The promises are just for believers. Joshua said, I was among them that came out of Egypt under Moses, but I have an excellent spirit. I never used to complain in any situation. When we faced the Red Sea, was there. I believe that God will do something anyhow. Because the signs and wonders that I saw happen in Egypt, I know that if God could do that one, is it water I cannot part? Me, I believe that God will do something. Whether we make us walk on the water or we open the, I know that God will do something. That is constantly in my heart because I have an excellent spirit. I was watching to see what will happen. Finally, when Moses, God's prophet before me, when he raised up his hand to heaven, I said, God, what is to be done? God rebuked him and said, why are you crying? Speak and go forward. Tell the people to go forward. He said, as the first person put his leg like this, the river just opened up. That's how all of us matched. I knew, even before that happened, that God is God. There are so many times that situations were coming up. Is it when the waters were bitter? Is it when there was no food? Is it when there was no water? Is it when there was sicknesses? In each case, I know that God will prove himself God. We finally got to a place called Kadesh Barnea. Then Moses, he called one person from each tribe. I was the one that represented my own tribe. We went to go and spy the land. 12 of us. When we got there, we saw children of Anarchy. We saw walls that were there. We saw different things. Then we look at the fruit of the place. But what we are asked to look for is to see whether the land is there and to see the fruit of the place. Because God had told us before we left that there's a land there that he has given to us. So when I look at what God said, that he has given to us. So irrespective of what I saw there, he didn't face me at all. I knew that God will keep his word. I brought the report back. Come and see 10 of our brethren. Preachers. So they preach message of unbelief, message of fear, message of doubt, message of impossibility. What they brought to the people. And the people almost stoned the two of us. Say, but I stood still and I saw the glory of God. And when it was time for Moses to go up to God, God told Moses to anoint me instead. And I brought the people to the promised land, divided the land to them by lot, as the Holy Spirit gave the inspiration. Everybody settled down. We fought the war. When we don't even have weapons, we conquer. Apart from when a bastard misbehaved, every battle was won flat without any single failure. So is that your testimony? Joshua stepped down. The prophet said, you could call hundreds more. But if you will permit him, he will want to be the next witness. If you want to stay on this next witness, we can go here to 6 p.m. But nevertheless, the prophet by the name of William Marabran, whose picture you are seeing here, with the picture of the pillar of fire on top of his head, he was born in Kentucky, in a mountain cabin, in a bush somewhere. And we have read some scriptures. We don't know what they mean. But finally, in this generation, this man was born to a family of people that does not go to church. But the day he was born, the day the mother was laboring, while the laboring was going on, the pillar of fire was descending. By the time the child came out, when they bathed him and put him down like this one in a place, then this pillar of fire came and settled there. There was no camera. He would not snap it at that time. But he only had the news of what happened. As he was growing up, between like the age of three He began to hear God speak to him audibly. He started hearing God's voice. By the age of seven, he had been seeing visions. The Ohio River today, that is still there now. The Ohio Bridge, that is still there now. It was 22 years before it was constructed that he saw the vision. Not only saw the vision, but counted the number of people that will perish during the construction. That they were 16. 22 years interval. The way he saw it, that's the way it happened. The prophet went further. He said, there are people that say that your what you are trying to say, your experiences with the angel, the audible voice you are hearing, and all these things, that they are fake. This is a day of scientific. God is dealing with people with scientific. We have hospitals. We have doctors. We have professors. How are we with such a religion? We don't believe in such a thing. Even my pastor, when I even told him that I am to take the message of divine healing around the world, he doubted me. Honorable court. See, when I was baptizing after a revival in Ohio River, 1933, in the broad daylight in the afternoon, while I was baptizing out of 500 people, the 17th person, when I was baptizing the 17th person, and I prayed to God, say, Heavenly Father, as I baptize this one with water, you fill it with the Holy Spirit. He said, as I baptize the person and raise him up like this, I heard a voice, look up! He said, I was wondering where that voice was. He said, look up! When I look up, I saw something like a star coming from up. That was a pillar of fire. And it was coming where people that were more than 5,000 were assembled at the riverbank. And it came. When they snapped this picture was used by the news people to publish the news. That is what this picture. They say that local Baptist person baptizing Ohio River and a star appear and said like this. News, as we used to read our newspaper here, is what carried this picture at that time. All over USA, they read the news. Are you following me? As John the Baptist was sent to front the first coming of Christ, you are sent with a message to front the second coming. You see, from that time, I'll be preaching, praying for the sick. God gave me a sign that if I hold the people like this with my left hand, their right hand, I will know what is wrong with them. And if I pray for them and the swelling on my hand goes down, I pronounce them healed. You see, he told me that if you are sincere and you get the people to believe, it will come to pass that you will be knowing the secret of their hearts. He said, that started happening. And when anybody stays before me like this, I see the life of the person from sometimes years ago, 40 years. Brother Abraham said, some people have chased their life front and back. Chased their life. Which means he traced them from Todula. Like this. Oh. There was a lady that came before him one day, and he said that the reason you are having the high blood pressure today was that when you were a little girl, a dog appeared to you and scared you. From that time, high blood pressure set to your system. From a little girl. There has never, apart from the ministry of Jesus Christ, there has never been any ministry like that on the surface of this earth since this world was created. And this is the end of the age. If anybody anywhere thinks he knows the scripture, let him read his Bible. Let us talk together. The prophet gave testimony. Is he congregant offshore? A man that was on wheelchair for 66 years and was sent to him by his unbelieving pastor. And he came there and he saw the vision of him. And while the service was going on, he saw the next vision. He saw the man walking upright. He said, congregant offshore, because of your stand for God, that you are against alcoholics, which God also hates, God has honored you. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up where you are. And the man, for the first time in 66 years, rose up And he said he came to the platform, touching his toes like this. The witness of the defense witness. And they are uncountable. You know, Sister Adeobi was giving a testimony about my wife and somebody else also, before we went to the convention also, also gave those testimonies that we know. Some battles that we find behind the curtain is only known to God. But the prophet said, when his ministry was coming on, one of his child was always crying. See, at a point, God told him that this thing, there is no sickness that is wrong with the girl. It's just against your ministry. The past two conventions, Satan was planning that it was during that convention that there will be crisis. So me, I know it's the devil. Of course, God children and pray. We also do ours. You must know where you stand. You must know whom you believe. And you must not bend for Satan under any circumstances. Neither must you testify negative. About almost four years ago, I also went for surgery that the result says cancer. But by his grace, I am standing. As long as I have not finished my course on this earth, there is no enchantment against Jacob. Isaiah prophesied. He said, there is no weapon that is formed against me that will ever prosper. I don't know what he said about you and so many other scriptures. The prosecuting witness and his witnesses, they come a little bit late. It's just because they are unbelievers. That's why they have their witnesses. God's promises are not for them. They are for believers. By the grace of God, I am a believer. I don't know what you are. Are you a believer? Do you believe God's word? Do you believe his promises? Shall we rise on our feet? Because the time is gone now. 2:31 or so. Yes. No. Just let me see. Let me see the hymn. Wait. I'm still looking for. All right. Okay. Yeah, 3:21 I meant to. 3:21. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from a sunshine. The skies may turn gray. I don't worry about the future because I know what Jesus said. Today I walk beside him because he knows what is ahead.
Today, I walk beside him, for he
It's a court trial. We are in the courts, examining whether God is faithful, whether he is false, whether he is a deceiver, whether he has not been faithful, or he has been faithful. Our heart is the jury, and our actions is our judgment. Trace your life back and open your mouth and say something. Whether God has been faithful or he has not been faithful, look at your life back. Look at your family. Look at his provisions. Look at his protection. Look at his healing. Look at what he has done on the right and on the left, in the front and in the back. Look around and say something from your mouth. Has he been faithful? Is he just to have put his promises in his word? Is he justified? Is he right to have put his word in there? You tell him something. Because this is the judgment time. You cannot sit on the fence. Is God faithful? Is he righteous? Is he holy? Is he judged by these promises? Can we depend upon him? Can we depend upon his promises? Can we stand by them? Oh man. For those in the audience, if you would like to be remembered in prayer, I don't need to ask those at the altar, because they have walked all out from their seats to be here. For you in the audience, if you would like to be remembered in prayer, we just lift up your hand. More than ever before, we need to stick with this God. He is faithful. He is faithful. From age to age, he has been faithful. The promises, they are accurate and they are correct. And they are precise. And he stands by them. And he's very faithful. That we cannot deny. Gracious Eternal Father, we want to thank you at this hour for your word that we have traveled through a court trial. We saw the enemy, Satan, the devil, your enemy and our enemy, trying to bring a case against you, that you are not faithful to your promises, that you, Lord, who write share promises in your word, that you don't back up.
And he brought his witnesses, Mr. Unbeliever, Mr. Skeptic, and Mr. Impatient. And we have found them to be just as their name goes, that truly they are unbelievers. They are doubters, and they are never patient with you. We saw, O living God, witnesses like Noah that have to wait for 120 years for a promise to be made manifest. We saw Abraham. He has to wait for 25 years before the promise could be made manifest. We saw Moses. He has to wait for about 40 years or 80 years before a promise could be made manifest. Lord, we saw, oh God, Joshua. We saw others, their father. We saw your prophet. We couldn't even talk up to 1% of what we should talk about him. And we as individuals, if we are given the mic, we also have things to say for hours about your faithfulness. We know you are faithful to your promises. It doesn't matter what we feel at this minute. You are faithful to your promises. It doesn't matter what we go through. You are faithful to your promise. Lord, we have had enough testimonies. Individuals, families, as a local assembly, of so many things you have done that have proved, oh God, that you are faithful to your promises. We thank you very much. We are grateful to you. Lord Jesus, what we just ask this afternoon is that you increase our faith. Help us to stand firm. Help us to stand tall. Help us to be solid. Help us to be dependable children. True witnesses of yours. Under any circumstances. Because your prophet said that your word will defeat Satan. Anytime, anywhere. Under any circumstances. May we be faithful, Heavenly Father. May we be true witnesses, oh dear Father. May our life testify that truly you are faithful. May it prove to this generation that you have true believing children. Those that came to the altar, they came for a purpose. Grant the desires of their hearts. Forgive every unbelief. Forgive every sin. Meet the need of each one. Solve their problem. Grant their desires. Every hand that went up in the congregation, may the angel of the Lord touch those hands, oh Father, and meet every need behind them, Lord. All of us together increase our faith. Draw us closer unto you. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, may it be acceptable unto you, Father. Thank you, King of Glory. Blessed be your wonderful name. We are grateful unto you. Lord, we appreciate you. Be with us as we wait for the next service. May you release your blessings again upon us. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. We are dismissing immediately. This announcement, he said, we request brothers and sisters who served at the kitchen and dining during conversion to kindly gather under the shed after the service for a brief appraisal meeting. Please be punctual. Thanks, and God bless you. The officers. I think 166, as we dismiss, hoping to be back by 2 o'clock. The Lord be in our help. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he prepare for us a place.